Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-73, Landlock LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, dividing 132.96 acres into 213 lots using the cluster development concept, located north of Route 9, 950 feet east of Route 30. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee on April 19th of 2006. The revised plan was received on October 6th of 2006, and an exhibit booklet was received on October 10th of 2006. And that's all I have done. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there someone here representing this application?
Yes, sir, Mr. Wheatley, Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant. I'll try to move along given the hour and...
Mr. Byard, I need you to state your qualifications.
Oh, I'm a lawyer, locally. unfortunately, I work with Mr. Schrader, but I won't be half so long.
I believe you're an attorney, if my memory serves me correctly, but we do want to get that on our record according to our attorney.
If I may proceed.
You may.
Thank you. As Lawrence has noted, this is a cluster subdivision and an AR1 property in a developing area. On the state spending strategies map, it's identified as level 4, but as you'll see shortly, it's anything but level 4. The project has been designed to be in compliance with not only the county subdivision ordinance and the cluster ordinance, but it's also been designed to comply with the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay ordinance, although that's not required. It provides a design and amenities that an ordinary grid subdivision cannot, and it preserves trees and green space that a grid subdivision cannot. What the project does point up is the virtues of cluster design. With that, I'd ask Jessica to come up. John, if you would come up as well, you're welcome. Ms. Nichols' credentials, I believe, have been established earlier this evening, but if she'd like her to do that again, she can.
Actually, this is her first trip tonight.
Oh, it was John. I beg your pardon.
That's right.
She's Jessica. Playing Vanna White earlier.
Oh, yes. Your credentials, other than your skills as Vanna White. Can you describe your credentials briefly to the commission?
I'm a professional engineer, registered professional engineer.
All
Thank
right.
you.
And you were, you were responsible for the project booklet?
That's correct.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
If you would, to begin, take the commission quickly around the neighborhood describing how the area has developed or is developing.
Okay. On the board to our left is the location of the project in the vicinity of the intersection of Route 30 and Route 9. We are in the vicinity of where Beshi Furniture is located. It's not shown on here, but there's a large section of commercially zoned property at that intersection. There is industrial uses, Del Dot Borrow Pit on both sides of Route 30, I believe. There is a mobile home park at the intersection of 30 and Route 9, Deerwood, and an RV park to the north.
And immediately adjoining the property is on Route 9 is a small mobile home park, is that correct?
That's correct. I think, no, that's actually our property that you're pointing to, but in this triangle right here is where the trailer, this is actually the property, this is the area that we're leaving.
And Burns Pet Shop.
Mm-hmm. Burns Pet Shop, as well as the horse riding
facility. This is a construction ongoing area.
But is it fair to say it's a mixed-use community?
That's correct. Fair to say.
Let's talk about the site. Can you describe the current site conditions to the commission?
This site, and in your booklet, which I won't go through in great depth, but there is a report from the environmental consultants regarding, it appears to be a completely wooded parcel, but in fact it is a tree farm, a previously wooded tree farm. It is a monocultural tree farm, which means it has very little actual environmental value. I don't know a lot about the woods, but because it was a tree farm that's overgrown and is not farmed at this point, it's not like a natural wooded area.
Are there wetlands on site?
There is a tax ditch, which are waterways that are jurisdictional. that we are at the closest 60 feet from with any development.
That's the only wetlands on site?
That's correct.
And the jurisdictional determination is being sought from the Corps of Engineers?
Yes.
What about rare flora and fauna?
There's also in the environmental report is that there aren't any rare flora. You can look at the pictures. It looks like a loblolly tree farm.
If you could take the commission through the cluster design, I believe there was some earlier confusion with some people I spoke with about the location of the entrance, but if you could walk through the cluster design.
Okay, the development is for 213 lots on 133 approximately acres, which the lots that we have now are approximately 7,500 square feet minimum. There is 52.34 acres of open space. This is not including the on-site wastewater treatment plant or stormwater area. This is strictly forested area that will not be disturbed. And that is 40% of the site. 60% of the site just is the lots, the right-of-way, and the wastewater. And there are 4.73 acres of recreational area. There is a centrally located rec area as well as the recreational area with the clubhouse and pool at the front of the development.
Beyond the clubhouse and pool, what other amenities are there?
There are the amenities of a school bus stop at the sheltered school bus stop with parking at the front of the community. There are sidewalks proposed on both sides of the street as well as streetlights on both sides of the street.
And again, the open space net of roads, lots, and amenities?
Well, the open space is 52.3 acres, which is 40%, and that does not include the stormwater or the sewer.
And what sort of housing is proposed for this project?
These are not manufactured homes. They're
single-family?
Single-family, exactly.
Can you talk about infrastructure serving the property?
Water and sewer will be provided by Artesian. It's going to be a private community and wastewater system and a central water system. And the sewer and water will be designed by Artesian with excess capacity should adjacent areas need to tie in at some point in the future.
Have you received a soils feasibility yet, or do you anticipate?
Not at the moment, but
shortly.
We should receive it within the next couple weeks.
You've been to PLUS. What did PLUS do to you, and how did you respond?
PLUS had several comments, nothing that was very specific. It was regarding level 4, which obviously we're in a level 4, but we're developing at 1.6 dwelling units per acre, which is less than the 2 dwelling units, which is allowed. There are no historic sites within the parcel. They had issues with the elimination of the wooded areas, but since we had the environmental study done, they, you know, stated, as I said before, that it's not really good forest area.
It didn't cause them stomach upset?
No.
Although I hate to do it, we have to go through briefly the elements of 99-9C. Ms. Nichols, if you would.
I will. The layout of the proposed subdivision is superior by using design concepts such as reduced lot size and the cluster lot areas so that we are able to maintain the 40% undisturbed open area. There are not any tidal wetlands or non-tidal wetlands on this site except for the jurisdictional waterways that is the tax ditch that is located, buffers from the top of that ditch. There are no known historical features located within the parcels. There are the 52 acres of open space, which is 40%, that will be preserved as woods, forested buffers, and passive open space. Soil removal and grade changes will be minimal and limited to the area to achieve acceptable street grading. The 60-foot forested buffer has been proposed All existing wooding areas along Route 9 will be to remain. That's that entire open space. That's 47 acres in the front of the site. The development will have central water operated and maintained by Artesian, and central wastewater operated and maintained by Artesian as well. Surface water and groundwater pollution will be prevented through implementation of DNREC and the Conservation District's stormwater BMPs. Internal subdivision roads will be private. They will be designed to meet or exceed Sussex County engineering and the state fire marshal safe vehicular access and minimum regulations. We've provided for safe community access with sidewalks and streetlights on both sides of the streets. The site's located in the AR1 district, which allows for 2 dwelling units per acre. We are proposing 1.6 dwelling units per acre. A protected school bus stop has been provided at the entrance of the proposed subdivision to facilitate pickup and drop off of children, as well as in your report, there is a study that was done by Andy Brandenberger regarding school children, and his, in a nutshell, evaluation was that it would have 7 students per grade level. Although the development of the property will increase the number of trips on this section of roadway, the improvements will be made to meet or exceed DLDOT's standards, and there will be minimal or no effect to the area waterways, and the existing ditch will be protected by a 60-foot buffer as well as the stormwater management previously described.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Well, lo and behold, Mr. Johnson, once again.
Yes, it is. Ms. Nichols, I would, this is first a comment. In the future, I would suggest that you might want to confer with Mr. Schrader in terms of what presents an easier picture for myself and perhaps some of the other commissioner members to review the plus comments as well as your response, because if you will note on his previous presentation, he replicated
the
plus comments in their total, and with the sub, you know, with the comments in a different color or whatever, because I know many people have concerns about going to the plus and maybe not being real productive for your time and energy, but for myself as a commissioner, I put a lot of value on those plus comments as well as your response to those. So it'll save me time in the future, because now I'm gonna have to go back and pull off the internet the plus comments and then integrate your responses to those. Bottom line is I might be in a better position to ask you questions in the future about some of your comments. With that aside, one of my concerns, as has been with previous developments on this road, is a safety factor and what discussions, if any, you've had with DLDOT concerning the location of your entrance and the proximity to the intersection of Route 9 and Route 30.
Well, and let me just say that we chose, you know, the lower number of lots and density to try to not impact the road, the traffic, if at all possible. We will have to dedicate as much right-of-way as necessary to reach the ultimate right-of-way of Route 9, and we're basically going to have to give land to DLDOT to do whatever improvements necessary. DLDOT is concerned if our entrance is closer than 600 feet to the intersection, which it's not. So we will, I'm sure, have to put in a protected, isolated left turn lane within Route 9 for the development. And that will all be developed during the entrance and design part of the project.
So approximately how far would you say your entrance is from the intersection of Route 9 and 30?
Well, there's another piece of property between us and the intersection.
Correct.
But I'm sure that this is about 1,000 feet.
Okay. And has there been discussion with DLDOT in terms of any recommended changes to the intersection at 9 and 30?
We haven't even gotten to that point because a TIS wasn't required based on the number of lots, and there were comments in the plus application, but they were very minimal, and I don't have them in front of me,
nor do I.
But I know. But I remember looking at them, and then I think I actually the responses were more than they actually asked for, which was dedicating the additional right of way and whatnot.
Okay. And in terms of the maintenance of the attached ditch, how would that?
I spoke with John Inkster, and he's in the tax ditch department, and there is a minimum of 25-foot to 60-foot maintenance easement on the top from the top of the bank on the property, and what you actually have to do to get through the process is you meet with them, you go out there, and they determine how much easement they need to maintain. And apparently, and this is with conversations with EnviroTech as well, if you're on the wooded side, that means most likely they've determined that that's not the maintenance side of the easement, and they go on the other side. But we left 60 feet either way before the rear lot lines, just in case they needed 60 feet.
And there'll be some way of delineating that for the residents that might move there in the future?
Well, there are lot corners, but
there's
other than
that. Mr. Johnson, too, there's a new statute that I think goes into effect in soon anyway, within a year, I think, where downstairs it's got to be recorded. DENREC's got to put together an inventory of all the tax ditches and affected properties and give it to recorder deeds, and it's going to be indexed as part of the change of title. So
we may not have the newspaper articles like we have recently.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem, Mr. Johnson, has been that those records, as Mr. Robertson knows, have been recorded in the protonotary's office, and people buying property and title searches looking for change of title generally don't look in the protonotary's office for tax ditch records.
An ancient book, which even if you found it, would be difficult to index. So.
And could you show me where the lakes are?
Well, there are three proposed stormwater ponds, and each of which are about an acre and a half, which look small on this plan, but in actuality are very big ponds. And these are our lakes.
That's the name, Paradise Lakes. I have no further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Burton.
What's the what is the price range of the homes going to be?
Jessica's an engineer. I could bring up Mr. Lockwood as a principal who might be able to give you a better indication. Mr. Lockwood, if you could come forward. Mr. Burton's asked a question about the price range of these homes.
They're stick-built homes, so I would assume that they would be 200 plus.
Is there a square footage that you're trying to achieve?
We haven't developed the full covenants and restrictions yet, but I'd assume that they're going to be a minimum of 1,400 to 1,500 square feet on the first floor.
Thank you. How will that entrance be lighted?
The entrance
looks like it's just a road into the woods.
It is. However, that road will be part of the typical cross section with sidewalks and streetlights as well. And we usually subcontract someone to spec the spacing of the lighting and whatnot because we don't know. But it will be lighted.
Okay. Mr. Burton, just so you know, the restrictive covenants that were submitted say that each main dwelling structure must have a minimum under roof heating area for 1,800 square feet for one story and 2,200 square feet for two stories, exclusive of decks and porches.
Thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Gordy.
The width of your buffer?
It's a 60-foot buffer minimum.
That's going to be wooded? Is it already wooded?
That's correct. It's wooded, and it'll be maintained as wooded.
Follow-up question.
Mr. Smith.
Yes. 10 Bears Environmental, what are their credentials?
I'm acquainted professionally with Joe McGamber, the principal. He is a PA. Surveyor. There also is a certified wetlands examiner. I can tell you the biggest job they've done down here was Craig-Rickney Cole, which is now Canary Valley. Mm-hmm. They handled all the environmental remediation on that project as well as environmental design and consulting services.
If I'm reading this correctly, you've got a jurisdictional determination has been made of the tax ditch, but you're still...
It's not been made.
It has been submitted.
It's been submitted. The Corps has taken the position that it has jurisdiction. over ditches.
Yeah, I understand.
It's somewhere in the one circuit court in this country, but presently they have jurisdiction over ditches.
I thought they were still making up their mind whether or not they had.
I think they are still making up.
It's on the branch of the court and talks to them. Baltimore branch says those are not wetlands. The Philadelphia branch says they are.
Okay.
So this plan doesn't reflect a jurisdictional determination on.
Hasn't been received.
Hasn't been received. Okay.
Still be received sometime.
Okay.
No other questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Counts?
Just one comment about the design. I noticed you made quite a bit of a change between the plus submittal and what we're reviewing now. The concern I have when we started the cluster process, a lot of the initial subdivisions came in with smaller lots and then open space left over someplace, in some cases, on the other side of the road. The revision does have approximately half the number of lots back up to open space, but the other half the number of lots back up to smaller lots. Smaller lots backing up to smaller lots. And to me, that doesn't take full advantage of the cluster concept. I'm just curious why you didn't incorporate some of the large open space area that you have into the remainder of the development so that you could take advantage of the open space.
You mean within the rear of the lots, like leaving open spaces?
Something like that. I mean, because otherwise all you're doing is making lots smaller with no functional open space available to those residents other than the small lot, and then they have to go someplace else.
Well, we did actually have some open space in the rear of the lots originally, and we determined that it didn't really make, so we had paths and whatnot through there, but we decided not to clear areas just to put the paths in. And when you go out to the site, this is actually, if there was a mature wooded area, it would be this, and then it becomes less so to really not much back here whatsoever. So we just decided to leave really the majority of the open space in the mature tree area.
I mean, I haven't done the calculation, but to add 15 or 20 feet of open space but separating the lots won't take that much out of the large open space, but that's a design consideration, and obviously you're the designer and I'm not, but just trying to take advantage of the options available under the cluster concept.
Right.
I don't think you're taking, in my opinion, you're not taking full advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, we did kind of shrink it together in order to kind of maintain the buffers around the perimeter and just pull all the lots in together.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right.
Question, clarification?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The forested buffer, is that 50 feet?
It's 60 feet.
60 feet. Okay, because I noticed on the plans there's 50 feet.
In the text it says. I think in the text
it
might say.
In the text it may reference.
Right. It's 60 feet on the plan, and that's.
Around the entire perimeter?
Yes. In the area where it's the smallest is 60, and then larger in other areas.
But it will be at least a minimum of 60.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Nichols, thank you. If you would kindly stand down, we'll see if there's anyone who has an interest in your application that would like to speak this evening. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-73 Landlock LLC? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-73? Yes, sir, we'll start with you right in the front.
My name is Ken Sonnegren. I live at 18605 Pettyjohn Road. That's one of the properties that's adjacent to the proposed development. I have several questions, and they may have been answered, but I couldn't hear the developer. Who is the developer, first of all?
The developer is the applicant is Landlock LLC.
Is there a person's name attached to that? Or?
I suspect the name is Mr. Lockwood.
Thank you.
I think he was introduced that way.
I think he was introduced as a developer, yeah.
Thank you. The second question, and this, how large are the homes that are being proposed for this development in terms?
Last I heard, it was 1,800 square feet for single family and 2,200 for two-story was the minimum.
Is the minimum required. Thank you.
Stick built, by the way.
The question I have regards the buffer zone, and I know that's been elaborated on, but I'm not quite sure where you measure that 60-foot buffer zone from. Is it from the edge of the ditch, or is it from the center of the ditch?
Property line to 60 feet in, and if that property line's in the center of the ditch, then it would be the center of the ditch.
If you're talking about the buffer from a tax ditch, though, when the tax ditch gets involved, it's from the top of the ditch over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it depends on what buffer you're talking about. If you're talking about a buffer around the perimeter of the property, that's going to be measured from the property line. If it's a buffer or easement area next to a tax ditch, that's going to be from the top of the ditch over.
So do I understand that that is 60 feet from the tax ditch, then? That's what that buffer zone represents, from the edge of the tax ditch, 60 feet in?
It's ultimately going to come down to what the Sussex Conservation District says and what the tax ditch easement is.
Yeah,
could we ask the engineer what her design is that for?
I think it was 60 feet is what she'd stated.
Good. Quite a 60-foot buffer from...
Ms. Nichols, you have to...
You need to jump up here and you need to talk to...
Excuse me.
You need to look this way.
We left a 60-foot buffer from the property line. We have a survey, which is probably more representative of what you have in front of you and not on that. The tax ditch, the majority of the tax ditch is on the adjacent property. It comes onto our property maybe 10 foot at the most in certain spots, and that's why we left 60 feet, because I thought 50 feet from the top of the tax ditch was to the larger of the 25 to 60 foot possible. So there's a 50 foot separation from at any point where the top of the tax ditch is and 60 foot from the property line.
I live next to the tax ditch, and I fenced in my property because the tax ditch is probably about 7 or 8 feet deep, probably about 15 or 20 feet wide. And the question I want to know is, I expect there'll be children living there. Is there a plan to put a fence around the tax ditch on the other side?
There is not a plan to put a tax ditch.
You can't do that anyway, particularly if that's where the easement is, because, again, the tax ditch commissioners and the conservation district need to be able to get in there to clean it.
They do, and I have put my fence 25 feet off so that I have not interfered with their ability. Yes, and I would think that if this is a subdivision of 213 homes with children, it might be a reasonable thing to consider. A query about the intersection of the entrance of the development with Route 9. Will there be a traffic light there?
No, there will not be a traffic light.
Route 9 is a heavily trafficked road. I drive it each day, and I think the idea of a cluster development where one community is dumping houses on one road is a good idea. I'm in favor of that. But with 500 cars conceivably dumping in and out of that road, I think there should be arrangements made to put a traffic light. Hate to see another traffic light on Route 9, but from a safety perspective, with children at that intersection waiting for a school bus, I think that it ought to be considered. The question I want to know is whether or not there are sidewalks that are going to be within this community for people to walk.
I believe they testified that there would be sidewalks on both sides of the roads and streetlights.
I think those are my questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're concerned about the traffic light. I would encourage you to direct that to the Department of Transportation, because that's who controls that stuff. We don't. We can't.
One last question, if I might, and that is there going to be if there's a school bus and a pickup spot for children, is there a site designated for the bus to pull off of Route 9? 9 is a two-lane road with traffic in that area is posted at 55 miles an hour.
Okay. Well, I suspect there would be some provision to make it safe. We could certainly ask them to do that. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
at 24877.
My name is?
I'm sorry. Nancy B. Lingo.
Hello, Mrs. Lingo.
I question the one exit and entrance on 9. Mm-hmm. I live 2 properties down from that. On a Sunday morning, I go to Harbison Church. I have counted 30 cars before I can make a left-hand turn. Between the Harbison light and the Gravel Hill light, we can't afford to put any more traffic on that strip of land. As far as the children, there's a slight incline that comes right after Gravel Hill. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you're familiar with it.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
I live up on that hill. People pass on the double lines. They pay no attention to the Harbison or Gravel Hill traffic.
Right.
They pass on the right. They said 5 or 6 children. If the price range is in what they're saying, I think that's within ranges of families. I would say, without any doubt, there'll be more than 5 or 6 children being picked up there. Now, they come through Gravel Hill light. They come on the right-hand side going east. That bus will have to stop on that side for pickup. Now, those people coming from Gravel Hill are just revving up Allen's Poultry, cement trucks. That is very hazardous. I don't. Do they have another outlet anywhere in their development?
They're not proposing one.
They don't have one down here. They only have one frontage on Route 9. DelDOT's preference is normally one entrance on this size project.
Well, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lingo. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Leslie Elliott, 24849 Lewis Georgetown Highway, and I would just like to express my opposition due to the fact that I live in the country. I've lived there all my life. I don't want to live in the city. I don't want streetlights. I don't want, you know, more additional traffic, so I'm just against that development.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. This group is so orderly here. Don't they raise their hands one at a time?
Dave Elliott, 24849 Lewis Georgetown Highway.
Okay.
I just think Route 9 is oversaturated now with the developments towards Lewis, and then it's a two-lane road. It's just, I sit in my driveway trying to get out for like 2 or 3, maybe 5 minutes and just wait, like my mother-in-law said, on like 30 cars, and then you're dumping 500 more out there just. I was born and raised here, and I just feel like my quality of life is going down, so I'm against it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone on the commission that has any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we...